you the question. Do you really, truly want to go to heaven? Now, we would say yes to that. That's an easy question to answer. But let's consider some things. Let's consider just really what it takes in order for us to go to heaven. And it's really a very simple sort of thing. It is that you'll need to do what God says. Now, if we were to draw a rendition of God, and always when I do this, I always draw the little cloud for you, because I don't know what God looks like. I've never seen God. I wouldn't be standing here telling you about it if I knew what God looks like. But that's the best that I can do to represent that. And we understand that God is made of three persons. There's God the Father, otherwise known as the name of Jehovah. There's a V, not a U. So Jehovah, and then there's who we know as Jesus. And then there's who we know as the Holy Spirit. Now, that might be a little confusing to many people, and it has been for centuries, but it's really not a difficult concept. If there was a family of five people, mom, dad, three children, they'd all have the same last name, right? They'd all be Smiths. But you've got Mama Smith, Daddy Smith, Baby Smith, Joey Smith, Fred Smith. So we've got that. That's figured out. That's easy. It's the same sort of concept as we would as a family unit. And so there's God. Now, there are no lesser gods. There are no gods other than God Almighty or God Jehovah, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And there are no greater gods. It is only God. There's no gods equal to God. So we draw these little X's out here to say, no, those things just don't exist. There are no lesser gods. There are no greater gods. There's no God equal to God. There just isn't any other God except God. Well, why am I beating that down to that point? Well, the thing is, if that's the case, then we got to pay attention to what God said. And we got to do what God said. It's one thing to pay attention and then go away and not do it. But the thing is, we've got to do what he said. So that's kind of sort of the concept. God says, do this. And a person says, I won't do that. And so he goes and does that. And that person is pleasing to God. Now, sometimes God says, I want you to do this, but I want you to do it with this stuff right over here. And sometimes people say, okay, I'll do that. And so they do that thing with that stuff over there. Nadab and Abihu, though, God said, do this with that stuff over there. And Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, nephews of Moses, they did that thing, but they did it with stuff over there instead of stuff over there. And you remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu? They were killed. They were frazzled right there on the spot. So we've got to do what God says. And that's all the way through the Bible, from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and all the way down to the book of Revelation, even chapter 22, people must do as God says. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles now to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. Chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 17. Scripture has this: the world is passing away. Ah, that's interesting. All right, so here's God, here's the world. And, you know, I'm going to draw it, okay? So there's comments and stuff. All right, so there's the world. And it says that the world is passing away. Well, if something is passing away, it's going away. There will be a time when the world will be no more. And that's what God is actually teaching us. Well, is the world itself such a bad place? God created some beautiful scenery. B-E-A-U. Beautiful scenery. He's made some beautiful animals. He's made the earth to supply all our needs. Surely all those things aren't bad. So the earth is pretty good in that sense. But on the other hand, there are a lot of lustful things that we find in the world. And so these lustful things could be money. It could be power. could be ego, which is closely related to power. It could be relationships. It could be things like mind-altering drugs, substance abuse. Substance abuse. And we could just go on with this list. You get the point that I'm making here. All right, so there's lustful things in this world. Now, the world just is. It's like this table right here is not sinful. It's just a table. And we use it, we set it aside for God's purpose, for God's use, to partake of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, every Sunday morning. But the thing is, along with this world, there is sin. And there are people who are sinful. And I don't need to list all of the different kinds of sins. You can find in Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21. That's a great place to find a list of sins. You can find them in just about any book. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for example, beginning in verse 9. You can find all those lists of sins just about anywhere that you'd want to look. All right? So here's the thing. When John says that the world is passing away, well, surely this is true. The world is at some point going to vanish. It's going to be done away with in fire, according to the Bible. But here's the deal. All of this stuff is going to go away. All of the things that we would lust for, all of the things that we would desire, all of those things are going to go away. Those are going to be burned up, just like the earth is going to be burned up. Now, here's the thing, though, that people who are committing all of those sins, if they do not repent of their sins and be baptized to wash away their sins, according to Acts 22 and verse 16, Acts 22, 16, then these people are going to be burned up just like everything else. And so it says here in verse 17, the world is passing away, and also all of the desires, all of the inordinate desires, all of the bad desires, all of the desires that are actually pretty much okay, but we have too much desire for it. All of those things, you see, is right here within this verse, and it's lust. But the one who does, now there's going to be an interesting phrase here. Anyone who does the will of God, I can make an H. The will of God. Okay, so you might ask, well, what is that? What is the will of God? Well, you would probably say the Bible. And you would always be correct in saying the Bible. But here's really what God wants. He wants restoration. He doesn't want restoration of the world, not the physical world. He wants the restoration of souls. He wants people to repent and be baptized, have faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and that what He says is the same as God speaking, whatever words that God would speak. And so He is. Jesus is the Son of God. God the Father wants us to recognize that and then follow through with what it is that Jesus wants us to do. And so here's Adam and Eve. For a time, their soul was pristine, was it not? It was absolutely perfect, just like the garden was perfect. And God had just a couple of rules. Don't eat of that tree. If you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. So what happened? Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve because they partook of the forbidden fruit from the forbidden tree. And so here comes sin. And all of mankind, all of man people, all of God's creation, everybody sins. Your mama sins. Your daddy sins, your sibling sins, your teachers, your lawyers, your doctors, everybody. Everybody on the planet sins. They get involved in all of this lustful sort of stuff.
And then they start doing all the bad, sinful stuff. All right, so here's mankind. They're in a bad situation. But what does Jesus do?
God wants us to become disciples. Why? Because we can learn how to please God. So that we can learn how to go home. That is, to heaven. But God is interested in restoration. He wants us to become disciples so that our souls are restored to pristine condition. That's what happens. When you wash away sins, there are no sins attached to your soul. So you're pristine. Just like Adam and Eve had pristine souls. We too can have pristine souls. But I want you to notice that the world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one, any one person, any one individual who does the will of God lives forever. These people that do not repent, there's a place for them at judgment. And you know what that place is called, right? Hell. And that's described as a burning lake of fire where the maggots never die. Have you ever seen a maggot? I have. They're creepy, crawly, little white, grubby looking things. They're really kind of ugly and they're just all over dead stuff. It's really pretty nasty sort of looking stuff. So you're burning in this lake of fire. There's little bugs, little insects on you all the time, inside of you and outside of you. And you're in the deepest, darkest abyss, deepest, darkest darkness, and you'll never get out of there. See, that's that despair. That's that extreme darkness. So in order to go to heaven, once again, I'm making this very, very clear this morning, the one who does what God wants lives forever. And I've probably taken up too much time with my first point. Darla says I always do that. But would you please turn over to the book of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 4. And let's look at verse 39. All the way back. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right, so that's the fifth book of the beginning of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other, since that's the case. So you shall keep His statutes and His commandments, which I'm giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time. And you would say, amen, I get that, I understand that. But do you really? Do you really get that into your heart of hearts that God is one that you must do what He says if you want to go to heaven? Now go all the way back up to the top of the chapter. Now let's take a look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 of the very same chapter. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, to do, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Now, listen to what he says, verse 2. Very super important for people in our day and age. Because there's all kinds of so-called Christian denominations in the world, and they're all different. They all believe different things. So how is it that you find out what it is that you are supposed to be doing? If it is that I'm supposed to be doing the will of God, I don't want man-made doctrines or teachings. I don't want incorrect information from other churches. I just want what God says in order for me to go to heaven. So listen to this now.
you shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So what's going to happen if you add to God's word? Bad stuff is going to happen to you. What happens if you endeavor to change God's word? And there are a lot of people that do that today. Bad stuff is going to happen to you. What happens if you endeavor to take away stuff from God's word? Bad stuff is going to happen to you. So you'll need to do all of what God says, that is His will, in order to go to heaven. Which is actually my next point. Don't try to change God's word to your way of thinking. Don't try to change God's word to your way of thinking. So here's a little picture of a brain. In fact, let me draw a little brain up here. So I got some room. I'll draw a little brain like this. There's the brain. And so my brain is the thinking unit of my body, of my person. And so I take in information from the world. I take in information, because I can't help it, just comes my way, stuff from other religions. And I take in stuff from the Bible, because I'm interested in what God says. And so I want to know. I listen to what God has to say. So here's what happens. My brain forms opinions. Some of those opinions are right. That is, you've got the right information from the Bible, and only the Bible. Some of this information is wrong, because there has been information that has come into your brain that is just flat not right. We call that erroneous doctrine, or bad doctrine, or false doctrine. And some of your opinions are really what I'm going to call fuzzy. Why do I say that? Why do I use that word? Because it means I think the verse means X, whatever it is that I think that it means. See, that's why it's an opinion. I think this verse means that. And you know what? If you're not incredibly careful, you're going to be wrong in your fuzzy thinking. Why? Because you can't just say, I think the Holy Spirit talked to me today. Is that true? Does the Bible, does the New Testament teach that the Holy Spirit has individual contact with any one individual on this earth? Well, no, the Bible does not teach that. And so people who say, oh, I got this message today from the Holy Spirit, that's not right. And so you've got to have the correct information in order to do what it is that God would have you to do. We're on our way to Revelation, but we want to stop over at Proverbs, please. Proverbs 30. Let's take a look at 5 through 6. Proverbs 30, 5 through 6. Proverbs 30:30, beginning in verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is tested. Now that's the New American Standard Version. Your version may have different words there for the word tested. What that means is, let me give you the basic meaning of it. It is that it's been tried as in fire. It has been proven. It's like testing gold to find out that it really is gold. All right, so every word of God is tested. Not by us, but that means that God has approved the message. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And so if God says, I will protect you, then you can go to God and you will be protected. And that's really as simple as it is, if you take refuge in Him. Now, but verse 6, do not add to His words. There it is, once again, just like we saw back in Deuteronomy. Do not add to His words. So if we say that the Bible is important, but the Book of Mormon is more important, what do you think that is? If we say that the Bible is important, But we need a manual to figure it all out. Then that's adding something else. The Bible is important, but we need a creed book to state our thoughts about what all this means. That would be adding to God's Word. You see how all that is incorrect? Mankind's religions, so-called Christian religions, are full of this stuff. All right, so do not add to His words. Why? He will reprove you. That is, He will show you to be wrong, and you will be proven a liar, which is very interesting. Because here I am. Let me give you some false doctrine. I'm going to tell you some false doctrine right here. It's not true. Don't believe what I'm about to say. But let me just tell you. All you need to do is believe, and you'll be saved. All right? That's not in the Bible. It's an addition by mankind. The Bible never says that. The Bible says just the opposite of that. The Bible says if you believe and obey, then you'll be saved. And I'm cutting down those words just so that we can find it real quickly. All right, so let's go over to the book of Revelation now. Revelation 22, all the way to the very end. Revelation 22 and verse 18. Revelation 22, verse 18. I testify, you know, John was writing this out, John the Apostle. I, John, testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to the words, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. You might go back to chapters 15 and following and find out what those plagues are. It's not anything that I would want to happen to me. Then in verse 19, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life, which means you will not live forever, that is, not live forever with God, and from the holy city, which are written in this book. Did you get that? If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city. You are not going to be in heaven. So the point that we want to make here this morning with this is, do it the way God wants it done. Don't do it the way that you think you might like to have it done. And you know there are people that do this. You know, I just gave you one example of people thinking that the Holy Spirit's talking to me individually. And so the Spirit told me today that I need to go over and talk to this person over there. That's just not true. It does not happen. That's not what the Bible has to say. But here's another thing that people do. I'll call it cafeteria religion. I like some of that. I don't like that. I want some of this, but not that. All right, so here's the third thing that people do. I think this verse means, no, it doesn't mean that at all. You've got to read the verses before, and you've got to read the verses after it. You've got to find out who's talking to who. You've got to use good Bible hermeneutics. That is the study of how to study the Bible. And so there are all kinds of false thoughts about out there in the world about what God has to say. And we can't afford to change the way that God wants things done. So here's the deal. If God says you must believe in order to be saved, that's true. He did say that. If God says you must repent in order to be saved, yeah, that's true. You've got to do that. Well, wait a minute. I thought faith only was what was needed for salvation. Why are you telling me I need to repent? It makes sense. But why do I need to repent if faith is the only thing that I need? Because that's what God says. You need to have faith. You need to trust that Jesus is the Son of God. You can rely on His promises, but you've got to repent. You've got to stop living sin and start living right. So you got to repent. You got to confess that Jesus is the Christ and do so publicly. Well, what do you mean? I got to get up in front of a crowd of people and say that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, yeah, that's right. You've got to confess Jesus before men. That's Matthew 10, verse 32. If you don't do that, I'm not going to confess Jesus before men. I'm too embarrassed. I'm not going to get up there and say anything like that. How weird is that? If you don't do that, you're not going to go to heaven. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. You got to do that. And now here's the real kicker. Jesus also said, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. And people will say, yeah, belief, we get that, we'll buy that. Bad baptism, Lord. But you're arguing with yourself, Jesus. We're all saved by grace. We don't have to do anything. Well, that's not what Jesus said, is it? See, that's the thing. People put their own opinions, their own thoughts into what the Bible has to say. And it's just wrong. You can't go to heaven by changing God's word or thinking that a certain thing is right when it's not. Quickly, here's the last point, which is what we've been talking about. Be converted. Be truly converted from the heart. Don't be arguing with God. Take a look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, please. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you that he took my punishment for my sins in his own body. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, all of this stuff. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became what? What's the word? Obedient. Mama said do, and I had to do. Daddy said do, and I had to do. My teacher said do, and I had to do. My college profs said to do, and I had to do. My military commander said to do, and I had to do. My wife says to do, and I have to do. All right, so you get that point. We have to be obedient. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient. And not just obedient. If God, you want me to do that? All right, no, you're going to beat me down. You're going to kill me if I don't do that. That's not the attitude at all. Listen, he says obedient from the heart, from the inside out. God touches people's hearts for the lifting up of the soul to heaven. Obedient from the heart to that form of teaching. Sometimes that word is given differently as doctrine. That is those things of what Jesus has said. To that form of teaching to which you were committed. There was a time when I lived in sin. If you're a Christian, there was a time that you lived in sin. But somebody, somehow, some way, gave you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so you heard that a person has to believe that Jesus is the Christ. We'll get that. You've heard that you have to repent for your sins, and you've done that. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you confess that publicly to people. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you've been baptized to wash away your sins. You get that concept? Wash away sins. If I have a dirty arm, and I wash the dirt off my arm, the dirt is gone. If I have sins on my soul, and I go through baptism for the right reason, that is to wash away sins. Now, if I do it the correct way, if I am a believer, and I am baptized to wash away my sins, Acts 22:16, then those sins are gone. Once again, I am restored. You want to go home, don't you? But you want to go to heaven? Jesus has a place for you there. If you don't argue with him, if you'll do what he says, if you'll do what it is the Father wants you to do, if you'll restore your soul. And aren't you tired of all the garbage that's around you? Are you tired of all the alcohol? Are you tired of all the drugs? Are you tired of all the physical abuse? Are you tired of all the mental abuse? Are you tired of all the verbal abuse? Are you tired of the way your life is? Well, all that garbage is sin. Jesus invites you. Imagine this. Listen to this in your ears. You see that verse right there? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Put this in your ear. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly or humble in heart, and you will find rest for your inner person, for your soul. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to offer what's called the invitation.